Let me read just a few verses. And they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it." That was big old grapes and big bunches of fruit. "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people." He just absolutely just told them, shut their mouth. "Moses stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and were in our own sight grasshoppers. And so, we were in their sight." I'm preaching to me, and if it helps you, I'll be thankful. I'm preaching a series entitled, and if you didn't get the series last Sunday night, get it up here. You'll want all of it. Living by Faith in a Culture of Fear. That's the series. Today's message, how will you and me face the future? How will you and me face the future? Let me say some things by way of introduction. There's just two ways you're going to face it. Because some of you might want to break it down a lot of ways. No. Two ways. You're going to view the future through the telescope of fear. Oh, yeah. And by the way, who would blame you? It makes me nervous what's going on. Or you'll view the future through the telescope of faith. There ain't no middle ground. You're either going to do it by fear or faith. Fear or faith. Fear or faith. No other way. You say, no, let's compromise a little bit. There ain't no compromising there. Now, I only got 2 points. But don't get too stirred up, because I've got a lot of subpoints. Number one, viewing your future through the telescope of fear. Let me tell you what will happen to you. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I've had it, I've done it, I've experienced it, and sometime this week I've done it. Hey, hold a minute. Look at me. Don't tell me, I'll just tell God today, I don't fear. And that'll cover me. I thought that was true. No, you got to tell him today to cover you. You got to tell him tomorrow to cover you. You got to tell him Tuesday to cover you. You got to say, God, I need you every day. And every day you face the future with faith. Because I want you to know something. It won't take long to drift. Here's what will happen to you. Now, let me just bring it down to this country, what we're facing. You'll see the economic bleakness. How many of you believe it's bleak? Sure it is. But it'll really be bleak because you are facing it with fear. You think, I'll never get a job. Yes, you will. If you believe in God. I'll never get relief Yes, you will. If you don't see that thing, it's bleak. But it's an opportunity for God to do something for you. Number two, not only do we look at all the economics, and it is a mess. We contracted. The economy went down 0.1% for the first time since 2009. Unemployment went back up to 7.9 and it's heading higher. Oh, well, good Lord, that's scary. Anybody but hold it. I took a baby aspirin for it last night because I was living by faith last night and it didn't bother me. But then secondly, you see the social bleakness. I want to tell you what. If you haven't paid attention, you ought to pay attention. There's an attack on the church today. You might say, I don't feel it. Well, there is. This nation is more secular right now than it ever has been in its founding. We are socially going down the tubes. Hey, we have chosen socialism over capitalism. We have chosen to endorse wicked marriages. And now we can't even define what a marriage is. We have chosen to bow down to those that pervert their sexuality. Why are we letting 1% of the population run the show? Social bleakness. You're going to see it. You're going to get so discouraged if you view it by fear. And you'll see the domestic bleakness. I'm going to tell you what. By the way, the church is not immune to it. Look at me. The church is not immune to it. There's people in this church. The devil's after your family. The devil's after you. Hey, listen, if you don't face it by faith, you'll probably fall before it's over. Amen. Now, let me say this. Under A, here's what happens when you view the future by the telescope of fear. First of all, you overestimate the difficulties that lie before you. Amen? You overestimate them. It's just what you do. And let me say this to you. You know what he done? He sent 12 spies. Everybody got this wrong. They got it wrong. He didn't send them over to criticize the land. He didn't send them over there to say, we can't do it. Actually, he sent them over there to plan a strategy. You say, what do you mean? First of all, don't criticize land. Second of all, he sent them to look at the ground and see if it was level or mountainous. To look and see if it had a lot of rivers or not much water. A lot of grass or not much grass. That's what he done. Numbers 13:27-28 tells you what they done. You see it on the board. You overestimate the difficulties that lie before you. You know what they done? How many believe they done this? They forgot they were brought out of Egypt by the blood. Lost, it's still the blood. Lost, thank God it was the last blood. Well, somebody say amen. They forgot that God brought that Pharaoh down to his knees. And I want y'all to know this. Whether it's a Republican in the White House or Democrat in the White House, that's not what's going to make this country tick. It's going to be a God-fearing people that said, if my people would call my name and humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, I'll turn from their wicked ways. I will hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. Heal their land. They saw all the plagues. They were told to put some blood on the lintels. That's all. Stay up all night. Get standing. That means you're getting ready to leave. And God sent all them plagues to lead up to the awesome plague of killing all the firstborn in Egypt that didn't have the blood over the lintels of the door. How many glad you saved this morning? How many glad you're on your way to heaven? How many glad that the blood has washed you clean? How many glad if you died today, you'd be in heaven? If a rapture comes today, you'll be in heaven. If it don't come today, you got a God that'll take care of you. You got a God that'll help you. Well, glory. If that wasn't all, the Red Sea opened up. Whew. Pretty good? That ain't bad. Also, the Egyptian army was buried. Somebody say amen. Amen. And then, if that wasn't enough, once they got out of the Red Sea, their clothes they had, which wasn't much, never got old. And God opened heaven, pulled his blessed dump truck over there, coal truck. Thank God for coal. And dumped it out of heaven. Guess what came down? Manna. And you said, well, that's been dirty. I wouldn't want that water. Well, how you call that a blessing? Well, you don't understand. There was something on the ground to catch it. It was dew. The manna speaks of Christ. The dew speaks of the Holy Spirit. Lord have mercy. Somebody ought to run right there. God provided the provisions. Hey, why would you overestimate your difficulties that lie before you when you already seen what God done for you? I am guilty at times. Number two, you underestimate what God can do through us. We saw, verse 33, we saw that there were giants and the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. Did y'all get that? And in their sight. What happens? What does viewing fear cause you? Number one, you rebel against God. Verse 32, they brought an evil report. When you face life in fear, you might think, hey, Jeff, it's just affecting me. No. You're a rebel. I'm a rebel. Ain't nobody likes being called a rebel, but if you are viewing your future by fear, you are a rebel. You're rebelling. You don't believe he's able. You underestimate God. Lord God, how many times the last year, the year before, have I underestimated you? Thought you wouldn't do it when you would. I was a rebel. You was a rebel. Number two, verse 14, chapter 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. They regretted. They didn't regret. They trusted God. They regretted that they ever came out of Egypt. Hello? Hey! They regretted they came out of Egypt. Why'd you bring us out here? To let us die! I'd rather die in the wilderness. By the way, they got their wish. And I'd rather been in Egypt. Are you like that? You're complaining to God. Maybe it ain't all good right now. And you started getting bitter and complaining because your prayers ain't been answered yet. You're rebelling. And you also are regretting some of your commitment of the past. Then number three, verse 2. Of chapter 14, there's a resistance. Guess what happens when you rebel? And guess what happens when you start regretting God's blessings, Lois? You start resisting. And guess who he resisted? He resisted Moses and Aaron. Well, Moses represents Chad Eastep, Jared Shoemate, and Pastor John. We're your Moses. I'm your Moses, and they're the little Aarons. You start rebelling. You start saying, you know what? That preacher's been on so many diets. It's killing me. Why don't he just be fat and stay with her? Because that's what he'll probably be anyway. The other deacons done told me if I gain any weight, they're going to cut my head off. So I can't eat. It wasn't, by the way, they wouldn't have no bone fish for Moses and Miss Moses today. Aaron and Miss Aaron today. No bonefish credit. No. Ain't no Outback where you can go to Outback or Bonefish or Carrabba's. He said, you cut that down. Why have I gained and lost for 100 years? I got it down. Resist it. Hey, look at me. Are you resisting God? Are you resisting God because you don't follow the man of God? You don't follow the young men of God? You don't follow the deacons? That's the Aarons? Also, you're just rebelling and resisting everybody. Ain't nothing suits you. We have one saved Monday. Hey, wave at me, honey. If you got saved, what glory? Alicia's wife got saved Monday. She's in church on Sunday. What glory? And Alicia's in church every time the doors open. You're one of my most faithful men. I love you, Alicia. Number four, Lord God, retreat. Verse 3 and 4. Ain't bad enough. They rebelled and they regretted and they resisted. But they retreated. They said, we want to go back to Egypt. Or just let us die in the wilderness. Hold on. Hey, Denny, hold on. This didn't end that, Denny. Hold on. It ain't good to retreat. I've caught myself wanting to do that. Don't tell me you haven't. You probably thought about leaving the church. You probably thought about even not going to church because you just get church on TV. Hello? It's dangerous to retreat. You know what I thought about? I'm going down and have a honeymoon this week with my wife at a condo. I didn't pay much for a condo, dear God. I'm glad it didn't. It ain't worth nothing now. But it's worth something to us. We can get away a little bit. But I thought, hey, Jared, you know what I thought? Jared Shoemate and Chad could do this up here. And I'll just go down there and get a church or just go evangelism. Because you know what happened to me? I was facing it with fear. But then the Holy Ghost comes up and convicts me. Say, you're out of your mind. Not the way Dave Riddick tells me I'm out of my mind. The Holy Ghost tells me I'm out of my mind. But let me tell you what your regret's going to do. Look over in chapter 14. It's up on the board. They lost their lives in 29. Said, your carcasses are going to fall in the wilderness. And I want you to know, everybody over 20 is dead, except two, Caleb and Joshua. But I want you to know something, the rest of you is going to die. 3 million of you are going to die out there, and your carcass is going to be piled up everywhere. And I personally think it was a slow death. I think it was starvation. That's just mythology. I want to tell you why. God's the one provided the water out there. And God is the one that provided the manna and the quails. Guess what? You know what I think? When them children finally went in, they started dying of starvation. Don't that make you a little nervous? Because you retreat. I'm talking to people here lost that you just got, you say, I ain't listened to God. And then people that say, said, huh? I am not going to go follow no church and no preacher. And I am not going, I'm not for growing. And I'm not for blessing missionaries. And I'm not for. You done started retreating. Your next step is out of the church. Your next step is being backslidden as a devil. You already backslidden, but you'll be as a devil then. And here's what's going to happen to you. See, Canaan is not heaven. Canaan's victory. The rest of your days, you'll be bitter. The rest of your days, you'll just see your flesh shrink. and your spirituality shrink until you are dead to the cause of Christ. And you don't get to go over and eat the grapes. You don't see your family get blessed. You don't see anything happen for you. You're toast. Why? They retreated. Not only did they lose their lives, verse 30 and 14, they lost their land. How many can imagine Israel without their land? But this is awful. They lost their little ones. And they didn't lose their little ones to death. They lost their little ones. They got to life. They got death. They told Moses, well, our little ones are going to be prey. No. They were going to be prey. Could you imagine dying? Look at me. Can you imagine dying, Dave? You're dying. You're going to die. And here comes a bird. Lights upon you and starts eating your flesh. Dear God, have mercy. And then here comes another one as you get a little weaker. When you're out ready to take your last breath, a whole flock of them come and start having dessert on you. And that's the way you'll be spiritually. You'll be down. You'll be depressed. You'll be discouraged. You'll be defeated. You'll be out in the world. Everything will be gone. Your life, your land, your little ones. God help me. But number two, and I've got to hurry. I know that all sounded negative. It's the truth. But I ain't going to leave you that way. You can view the future through the telescope of faith. What happens if you start believing God? Here's what happens. You look up on the board. Here's what happens. You'll see the blossoming of faith. Isn't that all right? It ain't. What happens, Aubrey? I got this wrong sometimes. I thought when I start trusting God, I ought to get it all right then. It don't happen that way. But you do start blossoming. I can't wait for a few months, 2 or 3 months, and I see them trees blossom. I'm wishing away some of this warm weather because I don't want them to blossom too quick. But they will blossom. But then the second thing, when you view it by faith, you'll see the brightness of faith. Let me tell you something. You can be in a mess in your life. And I stay in one about half the time. But it don't look like a mess. Because you're trusting God. It's, you know what I think? And by the way, I want to tell the church something. I feel better today than I have felt in 1 year in the morning. Morning's my worst time. 2 weeks ago, I was pale. Everybody wondered about me. I was asked Doc. He knows all that stuff. But Doc, I woke up this morning for the first time in a long time. Everything seemed bright. I still got my issues. That's the new word of this culture. I still got my problems. You do too. Hey, Justin, you have your problems. But if you live by faith, you'll start blossoming. And then you'll start, things will start looking brighter. You may not have a job yet, but you know you're going to get one. Faith told you. Then number three, you'll see the brilliance of faith. You'll see the brilliance when you get your first paycheck. Somebody say amen. When God blesses your family and touches your family and uses your kids. There's some parents here, I'm mad at you just a little bit. I'm not bitter at you, I'm about half mad at you. When your kids is up there singing, you ought to be cheering. You ought to be shouting. You ought to be praising God. Now you're sitting back there going, ain't no big thing. Oh, yes, it could. Look at the alternative. They could be out of church. Hey, John Spurgeon could not have married Kristen and been the man he is. And Saul 522 saved if he lived by fear. But I'm going to tell you what, going over to Kenya ain't no real good vacation. But he went by faith. What happened? He started seeing brilliance. I believe in that. Now you might say you shouldn't preach positive thinking. You ought to preach positive things. Well, you're an idiot. I'm tired of hearing about fear. I'm tired of hearing that we can't get through it. I'm tired of hearing the naysayers say, you're done. No, I've done blossomed. face start look a little brighter. Even Dave Riddick looks halfway good. But they're going to be breathing soon. Weeping, endure for a moment. But joy cometh in the morning. Somebody say amen. Let me give you four or five things to help you in 5 minutes. Faith brings God's perspective. Verse 20. And what the land is, or 30 maybe, whether it is fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, be of good courage and bring the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first stripe of grapes. If you view things but God's perspective, let me ask y'all something. Just don't give me no answer I want to hear. Every one of you right now, in your spiritual moment, as you are right this moment, are you looking at things through God's perspective? Or are you looking through things through yourself? Fear. That's what faith brings. I sing no day. And by the way, don't take a whole lot. I listen to one of these young preachers. I don't know if it's Chad or Jared. I listen to every sermon they preach. I done listen to all Jared Green's sermons, everybody's sermon. One of them was preaching, and I got real encouraged. Because see what I was doing? I wasn't looking at God's perspective. When you got faith, you do. Even when it's wicked and bad. Number two, look at this. Faith brings God's protection. I'm going to read this to you. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Woo! You know what he said? Them big old guys 9'6". Ain't nothing. I got it. How many like it when somebody's got your back? I like it when preachers got my back, deacons got my back, and I thank God mine does. I'd probably been toast a long time ago, but I'll tell you who I'm real glad got my back. When you can't do it, when the preacher boys can't do it, I got a God, ladies and gentlemen, that's got your back and my back. Somebody say amen. Amen. Then see, faith brings God's power, for we are well able to overcome it. Here's what happens when you have fear. Now, Pastor, you know how you find a sheep from a goat? The goats are always butting. But this, but that, but this, but that. I say, I get tired of hearing it. Why don't you say, Pastor, I believe God can do great things through this church. I believe God can do great things through my family. I believe God can use me. I told Jared and Chad this week, here's my wish. I want them both to be my Elisha. And I hope they do double. And you too, Jared, and all the people, double what I've accomplished. You said, no, you don't. Yes, I do. Elijah done 7 miracles. I want you to do 14. I'm not jealous. I'm glad. And don't be satisfied with 7. Don't be satisfied. God's got power to make you great. Then look here, I'm almost done. Faith brings God's prosperity. He said the land which we passed through was exceedingly good. A land that floweth with milk and honey. And look what he said to Caleb. But my servant Caleb, because he has another spirit with him, not the same one you got, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess him. You know what Caleb's famous for? He's famous for saying, I want that mountain. Jared, shoemate, tell God you want to do double what Preacher Smith done. You tell him. You say, well, that ain't right, is it? Yes! You want a double portion. Greed, double portion. Deacon, double portion. Don't be satisfied with the status quo. Amen. Faith brings God's pleasure. Woo! Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to you that dwell there, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. How many of y'all, let me ask you, let's take a survey. I want to just take a survey. And if you don't believe it, don't raise your hand. How many of y'all believe when Joshua and Caleb got in the land, they were real happy? They're sad maybe because 3 million people died in the wilderness, but it wasn't them. Listen to me. Listen to me. If you're the only family in church that trusts God, trust Him. If you're the only family in church that believes God, believe Him. If you're only your family in the church that loves God, love Him. And what'll happen? You know, I don't know what heaven's going to be like. It's going to be wonderful. But I want to tell you, when I get to the victory land, Allison, when I get to victory land, I feel like I've been released. I feel like a different man. I said, why was I fearing when all I need to do is trust in God and lean unto not on my own understanding, but believe also in Him, and He shall give me the desires of my heart. He'll direct me. Heads bowed. By the way, everybody's going to vote this morning. Again. But you're not going to have to raise your hand. You're going to vote to live in fear, or you're going to vote to live in faith.